This is a reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, which is found on page 29 in your Bibles in the pew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. Well, that's a nice light reading. Both of those readings have the exact same theme. The theme is that you can't just have faith. You must also have works of charity. You can't just say you believe in God, dust off a pew on a Sunday morning, and then ignore people Monday through Saturday. Your faith has to be expressed in works. Both James and Matthew make this point. The James of the epistle is not James the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, but James the son of Alphaeus. He was called James the Less among the 12 apostles. Nothing like giving you a blow to your self-esteem. You know, there's James, and there's James the Less. You know, well, he went on to become the first bishop of Jerusalem, and he wrote this less as an epistle and more as sort of a catechism, an instruction as to how to live. And one of the things he told people was that, as that reading that Janet read said, what good is it if you say to someone, "I'm going to pray that you get food and clothing," and then do nothing to feed or clothe that person? If that's the case, then your faith is dead. I mean, he was blunt. I remember, you know, I've seen an awful lot of people who have gone through the process of dying. And a lot of people will say to them and to their family, we'll be praying for you, which at first I thought was kind of nice, but then I realized was kind of a sophisticated way of blowing you off. You know, if you say, I'll be praying for you, how about coming to visit me if I'm in the hospital? How about coming with a casserole to feed me when I'm stuck at home? You know, if I've had a heart attack, how about shoveling my snow in the winter or mowing my lawn during the summer? How about doing something as opposed to saying something? The theme today in this sermon is that you become by doing. You know, think about it. What is the purpose of your life? Why were you born? You know, is it money? Is that the purpose? Well, I don't know. I mean, there's nothing wrong with money, but no matter how much you have, it's never quite enough. I love to tell people that, you know, your Lexus won't fit into the coffin with you, but your soul will. What are you spending more time on? Well, is it to live forever? Well, you could eat health foods until they're coming out your ears. You could exercise until Arnold Schwarzenegger was jealous of your physique. You could have more plastic surgery than Demi Moore and Cher combined. And in 100 years from now, you'll be dead. So, no, it's not to live forever. Is it fame? Well, take a good long look at People magazine. And there's plenty of people in there who are very famous and not very happy, you know, on their third, fourth, fifth marriage. So what is the purpose of life? The purpose of life, I think, is to learn how to love and to be loved. Think about it. You become who you are by how you interact with people. Every interaction on every day with every person you meet defines who you are. You can be kind or cruel. You can be manipulative or friendly. You can be cooperative or controlling. Every interaction defines you. And those decisions that you make are written on your very soul. You know, if you go through life and you think of people as suckers to manipulate, then when you die and you're placed in the presence of your mom and dad who have died before you, of your grandparents, your uncles and aunts who have died before you, you know, you will not exactly know how to be close to them because you've never learned how to love on earth. And that sense of loneliness that will go through you for eternity, we call hell. Whereas if you have learned to love other people when you are placed in the presence of God and your mother and father and grandparents and uncles and aunts, you will know exactly how to be close to them. And you'll be very happy. And we call that state of mind heaven. If you're still confused, here's a story that I once told to a little boy when I was first ordained who came to me and asked, what's the difference between heaven and hell? And I said, well, imagine that you go into a great big house and there's only two rooms in it, one marked heaven and one marked hell. And you're kind of a wise guy, so you peek into the room marked hell first. And there is this banquet table with all your favorite foods on it. You know, there's turkey with all the fixings. There's roast beef and ham. There's no Brussels sprouts. There's no lima beans. It's just all your favorites. But all the knives, all the forks, all the spoons are 8 feet long. And you can't eat the food without using the utensil. And so hell is being so close and yet so far from that luscious food. Now you go across the hall and you peek into the room marked heaven. It's the same picture. Big, long banquet table, all your favorite foods, all the utensils are 8 feet long, gotta use them in order to eat. But during your lifetime, you were selfless instead of selfish. and it dawns on you that you can hold out your utensil and feed the person sitting across from you. And so you're having a party. Whereas the person in hell, all they can think about is, how do I get this food into my mouth without you stealing it from me? Well, the food is God. The food is your relationship with people. And your ability to access that food is by how you learn to love. This is World Communion Sunday. You have a mission fair after this service. The purpose of this sermon is not to make you feel guilty if you don't volunteer, but to make you realize that it is just an opportunity for you to become more of who you are by what you do. But also realize that you can become, you don't have to travel necessarily to a foreign land to grow. You can grow right where you are. Think of the relationships that you have, you know, with your spouse, with your children, with your neighbors. You don't have to go very far. You can grow through your relationships with them. You know, when was the last time that you told your spouse, I love you? When was the last time that you sent them a card, brought home flowers, or with now the season of the dead for the women, the football season that has just started. You know, when it gets to be, a Saturday or Sunday and your husband is glued in front of the television set, how about giving him a nice Heineken and, you know, some peanuts and letting him just enjoy himself?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Or with your children. I mean, you know, do you know their worst fear? Do you know the subject they love the most in school, the one they hate the most? Do you know who their best friend is? Do you know the things that they worry about? I have a bad back, and when I would visit my daughter and her family and when the children were very young, I would go on the floor to do my back exercises. And, of course, the kids would look at me like, what the heck's he doing down here? And yet they loved it, and so they'd sit there, and I'd watch a Disney movie with them while I was doing my exercises, and they would tell me everything. And they were fascinated by the fact that here is this person I love, who's my papa, who is basically sitting there listening to me tell them all about school. Well, that's how you become more by doing with your children and with your grandchildren. You have to sort of help people by how you love them. And you grow yourself by that. You know, if you're ever angry with people who have hurt you, realize that the punishment for their behavior is built right in. The punishment for being selfish is to be selfish. The punishment for being selfish is to live alone, is to be frustrated and always angry. And whatever pound of flesh that you can exact by your anger is peanuts in comparison to what they've done to themselves. So the goal for you on this day when we focus upon mission is to focus upon the mission in the community in which we live to support various efforts. I know you're supporting efforts in the Congo. Lou sort of got it right. My father was indeed a Presbyterian, but the missionary was a good 100 years before my father, and I have a carved statue in my office that person got from the village when they left as a present. But, you know, as I said earlier, you don't have to go to Kenya to grow as a person, but you do have to open your heart, and you do have to see how that expression of love will go. And think about, you know, how you then relate to your spouse, to your children, to your neighbors. I remember getting gas a couple of years ago, and I heard the guy who's pumping the gas say, you know, does anybody ever say thanks? And I thought, yeah, that's, you know, we sort of take this person for granted. And so every time I've gotten gas, I've, you know, gee, thanks a lot. And all of a sudden, you know, he's washing my window. You know, no one ever does that anymore. And when I'm checking out my groceries, you know, I'll thank the person who is packing the bags if they go that far to do that. And they're just very happy to have someone that appreciative. So the message today is you're still living, you still have growth, and that growth is how you're going to interact, not just today when you're nice to one another in church, but tomorrow when you have to go to work, tomorrow when you have to bring children to school, tomorrow when they come home and you want to talk to them, tomorrow when you have an argument with your spouse and will need to work that through. And while there's absolutely nothing wrong with having money, try to realize that it's not the end-all be-all. One of my favorite phrases from Scripture is, what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And the answer is extremely simple, nothing.